Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for reading the Word of God this morning. It's a great privilege to worship our God, and He's full of mercy. He abounds in great love, long-suffering toward us. What a great, great privilege that we can worship Him, and so we join together this morning for that purpose. Let's bow our heads right now, and let's go to the Lord as we prepare to look at His Word. Father, You have brought us here today, and we're grateful. Help us to be people who are satisfied in You. Help us to be people who find our joy in You. Help us to be people, Father, who are not tossed to and fro by the situations and circumstances of life. Help us to be people who realize and live in the truth that all that comes before us as Your children passes through Your hands. And therefore, Father, help us to be grateful and thankful and content and happy in You. And God, we pray that even now, as we continue to worship, that we look at truths this morning, Father, that You will take to our hearts and encourage us and edify us in our relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it is sufficient. Thank You, Father, that You know exactly what's happening in our hearts. You know what we need. You've brought us together. May our minds and hearts be fixed upon You as we look at truth today that will bring change for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to look with me again at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When the Apostle Paul presented this great truth of justification by faith in Romans chapters 3 and 4, I believe that he anticipated that there would be questions by those who heard him, by those whose ears were open to his proclamation, and especially the Jewish listeners. I believe that there would be questions about security. I believe that there would be questions about the stability of this means of salvation. See, we need to remember that in Paul's day, and even today, salvation to the Jew in Paul's day was no different than any other man-made religion. Man-made religion is built on man pleasing God through works. Man-made religion is built on man pleasing God through human achievement, what man can do for God. And so perhaps the questions that Paul would get from these Jewish listeners and those who were used or those who were following this pathway of working for righteousness before God, questions would be something like this. Well, Paul, will this justification by faith truly last? Paul, will it stand up under the wear and tear of human needs? Paul, what if the one who believes in Jesus sins? What if the one who believes in Jesus fails and falls? Will their salvation be lost? Will this justification that God has proclaimed and pronounced, remember, God declared the ungodly to be just through faith in Jesus Christ. If God declares the ungodly to be just, if that person sins, if that person fails, will God unjustify the ungodly? Will God take back His declaration of righteousness to those who believe in Jesus Christ, but yet those who fail and fall? And so perhaps these are questions that Paul received. And yes, the reason I say that is because those are questions today. Amen. That people struggle with those questions today. And so beginning in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some definite reasons why salvation is secure. Now we often look at this passage, and I think rightly so, we look at this passage as the blessings and the benefits of justification by faith. You see it in verse 1 when he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, and then he gives statement after statement of these benefits and these blessings which come to those who have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. But yet interwoven in these blessings is the solid truth that this justification is eternal. That this salvation is eternal. That the believer, the true believer, that one who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, is secure in that salvation. Now last week we looked at Romans chapter 5 verse 1, and Paul showed us that salvation is secure because of our righteous position. He says, having been justified by faith, this salvation is secure based on our reconciled condition. He says, we have peace with God. And this salvation is secure because of our required redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, in a very simple way, I'd like to look at verse 2, because Paul continues. He's giving now these blessings of justification, but yet I want you to see, I want you to look carefully, because in these blessings we see very plainly the security of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Now notice that Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verse 2, first of all, that we have access by faith. Look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now these words, by whom or through whom, refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:1, we saw that through Jesus Christ we have. I emphasize to you, we have. That is a present possession. We have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, that means that through His person and through His work, we have peace with God. The Scriptures make it very plain over and over and over that Jesus is the way. In our study of Romans chapters 3 and 4, over and over, Paul talks about faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Those who believe in Jesus Christ. That's the message of justification. That's how that justification comes to us when we are connected to Jesus Christ by faith. So because of this peace, or this reconciliation between God and man through Jesus Christ, then Paul points out another definite result of this justification. And he says here in verse 2, we have access by faith. We have access. Look carefully at that phrase. We have access. Now again, we don't get the full impact from our English translations. But Paul wrote in the Greek perfect tense, and that points to an action that is completed in the past and has continuing results. Now think about that just for a moment. An action that is completed in the past but has continuing results. See, so often in our lives, you can think of example after example. We do something in the past and it's done, it's complete. But yet, here's an action that takes place in the past and it has continuing results. We have access based upon a past action, and that access continues and continues and continues. That's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has achieved a completed and a continuous access to the one who believes. Now, what is this access? The word itself means permission to enter. It means an introduction. It means liberty to approach. Freedom to gain entrance. Now, I would say to you that the first century reader of this letter would understand fully the need to get permission to enter into the presence of a high dignitary or a government official or a ruler or a king or a governor. Paul is saying, folks, that through the Lord Jesus Christ and by His shed blood, by His substitutionary sacrifice, by His completed and finished work, we have an entrance. We have an introduction. We have access into the state of grace. Access to this state of grace has been described by some as confident access to the Father and to His throne of grace. Let's think about that in simple terms. We have access to God. We have access to God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And why? Because something was done in the past. It was completed. Jesus Christ did that by His death and resurrection. And the results of that take place right now and will continue forever. We have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "For through Him, through Christ, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need." And so through Jesus Christ, we have a completed and a continuous access to God the Father. Now, I would say to you that that truth in itself is full of security and full of stability, because our state of grace, our access to God the Father, is guaranteed forever. You know, oftentimes we shop and we look for things that have a lifetime guarantee, don't we? You know, we look for things. I want a good guarantee. I want something that will last my lifetime. And we feel so good when we buy something and we think, this is going to last my life. Lifetime guarantee. This justification that God has given to us through faith in Jesus Christ has a better than a lifetime guarantee. It has an eternal warranty. It has an everlasting guarantee, completed in the past and continuing forever in the future. That's the work of Jesus Christ for us. One purchase. Think about this. One purchase by God through Jesus Christ guarantees lifetime access to God the Father. Hold your place in Romans chapter 5 and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And I want you to see verse 12. And I could read it, but I want you to see it with your own eyes. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Look carefully. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews speaking about that work that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, he says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all." Look at this. "Having obtained eternal redemption." Having obtained eternal redemption. That purchase by God is eternal. It guarantees lifetime access to the Father. Now, let's step back just for a moment, because to the Jewish listener, those who read these words by the Apostle Paul with a Jewish background, to the Jewish person, access to God was remembered by the thunder and the lightning on Mount Sinai and the threat of death to anyone who crossed the line. Amen. That was access to God. To the Jewish listener, access to God would be remembered by the cloud and the dark cloud in the wilderness as they followed Moses, as they went to the land of promise. To the Jewish listener, access to God would be remembered as a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And one time a year, once a year, the high priest would enter into that most holy place with blood, gain access to God. You see, to the Jewish listener, what Paul said in these words, it was astounding beyond measure. That one who placed their faith in Jesus Christ would have a complete and a continual access to God the Father. And not only to the Jewish listener, but to us, the Gentile listeners, to we who see these words. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh." Folks, through faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, we have access to the Father. Now let me emphasize again the first statement of verse 2, because verse 2, Paul says, "Through whom?" Again and again, Paul reminds us that this secure justification and all of its blessings and all of its benefits are true only through Jesus Christ. Let me get personal this morning. This passage and these blessings and these benefits and the truth of the security of this justification and salvation is true only for those who are connected to Jesus Christ by faith. And so if you're here this morning and you're not connected to Jesus Christ by faith, these blessings and benefits and promises are not for you. They can be. They can be by the grace of God. They can be. Without Jesus, none of these things would be true or belong to any of us. So our salvation then is secure because we have now and forever through Jesus Christ access to the Father. Look again at verse 2. Because notice next that our salvation is secure because we stand in grace. We stand in grace. Paul says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now it's in this middle phrase of this verse that we see what some would describe as the real problem of the ages. How can a sinner stand in the presence of God? How can a sinner come into the presence of God? Ask that this morning yourself. Answer that today. I mean, if a holy, righteous God would begin to pick out our iniquities and our sins today, can we stand before Him? If a holy, sovereign God of the universe, in whom there is no shadow or darkness of turning, would begin to examine our good works and our righteous deeds, could we stand before Him? Could any of us stand before Him? You see, if we begin to look at that, I'm afraid that our words would indeed be the same as the prophet Isaiah when he saw the vision of God's majesty in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, and he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." But notice that Paul says here that we have a standing in grace. See, any man who tries to stand in his own works and his own character and his own righteousness will fall. We can only stand in the grace of God. So think about it, folks. We are justified by the grace of God. That's His undeserved favor given to us through Jesus Christ. And now, right now, in the present, through Jesus Christ, we are standing. We're living in this realm of grace. It's God's grace that saves us and God's grace that keeps us. And if, and the big word is if, this will never happen based on the authority of Scripture, but if God would remove His grace from us now, we're gone. We're doomed. We're destroyed. We're judged. We're condemned. We're lost in ourselves. But yet we are saved by the grace of God and we are kept by the grace of God. It would be a mockery of God's grace to think that God would begin the work of salvation in us and then not be willing or be unable to preserve it. That would be a mockery. I mean, we're not saved by divine grace and then kept or preserved by human effort. But I say to you this morning that there are many people who are saved by grace and then try to keep themselves saved. They've put their faith in God through Jesus Christ and then they turn around and put their faith in themselves to keep that salvation. Oh, what a miserable Christian life to live. What misery that is. What a burden that is to try to live that kind of a life. Paul told the Philippian believers in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hold your place and turn to Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude verse. Now see, I could have actually said Jude chapter 1, because there is only one chapter. Jude verses 24 and 25. And if you say, where's Jude? Go to Revelation and back up. Okay? Next to the last book of the Bible, Jude 24 and 25. Look how Jude ends this letter. He says, now to Him, that's God, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. Folks, we don't begin, here's how Paul said it in the book of Galatians, we don't begin in the Spirit and then be made complete by our flesh. You see, it's all a work of God's grace and it's all a work of faith in God through Jesus Christ. And if Christ's death was sufficient to pay the penalty of our past sins, then Christ's death is sufficient to pay for our present sins or our future sins. Folks, if a dying Savior could bring us to God's grace, a living Savior can keep us in God's grace. If the sovereign Lord of the universe declares those who believe in the Son of God to be forever just, then who in the world, who in the universe can overturn His verdict? There's no higher court. There is no higher judge. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who always makes intercession for us." Who makes intercession for us. That's the promise of God. And folks, despite what some would say, this standing in God's grace is not that believers may be free to sin. Now, we're going to talk about that in a few months when we look at this doctrine of sanctification. But yet, I say that clearly. The very purpose, the very effect of God's grace is to free men from their sin. It doesn't free men to sin. It's to free men from sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, "Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And folks, listen carefully. That professing Christian who persistently and consistently practices sin, who refuses to repent, who seems to find joy in wickedness and unrighteousness, shows very clearly that they do not belong to the Lord. They show that they are not a child of God. Because the true believer will begin from the moment of salvation a pattern of righteousness that springs from a new divine nature and the Holy Spirit that indwells that person, and that person will begin to hate sin and love God. And yet the believer will not be perfect. The believer will not be perfect. And I say that with all seriousness, that we still struggle with sin. We still struggle with this sin nature within us. But we will be progressing in holiness and righteousness in everyday living. The struggle's there, the fight's there, but the progress is also there. And folks, it's in this word stand that we distinctly picture the security of salvation. Because this word stand means to stand fast, to be fixed, to be established, to be firm. Because we stand in God's grace, there is certainty and finality and absolute security in salvation. One Bible expositor said it this way. He said, "It is utterly and absolutely impossible that the sentence of the divine judge would ever be revoked or reversed." You see, Paul makes it very clear that our salvation is secure because we are standing in God's grace. And this standing is directly tied to our connection with Jesus Christ. It's like we're standing in God's grace because we're standing with Jesus. Amen. We're connected with Jesus. And as long as God can accept Jesus and as long as God can receive Jesus, we're connected with Jesus. And therefore we're accepted and connected and received and have this standing in grace through Jesus Christ. Notice third, Romans 5:2. Salvation is secure because we rejoice in hope of God's glory. Paul says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So not only is our salvation anchored and secured in the past by Christ's death, and in the present through Christ's life, but now we see that our future is secure. God gives to His children the promise that one day we will be clothed with His glory. Folks, His glory is His likeness. His glory is what God is in character, in power, in appearance. This is the future for the believer, to be glorified, to be conformed finally and completely to the image of God the Son, Jesus Christ, who manifests the glory of God the Father. And think about this, that which we lost because of sin. Paul says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That which we lost because of sin will one day be restored to every true believer. Since every aspect of salvation is solely the work of God, then salvation cannot possibly be lost because it's in the hands of God. It's in His hands. Paul would say to these Romans later in the book that God is sovereign and God controls every aspect of the believer's life and salvation. And from the beginning, in eternity past, when God placed His love upon the believer, to that day in eternity future, when that love will bring glorification to the believer, God guarantees it. Here's how Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28, and it's a familiar passage. "And we know that all things work together for those who love God. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose." God is sovereign. God is in control. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He predestined, these He called, also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You see, from beginning, from beginning in eternity past, to eternity future that never ends, this is our hope. This is the solid truth. Folks, believers may fall and believers may fail, but true believers will never, 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 never turn fully and completely away from God. A true believer will never do that. They will persevere, not by their own power, but by the power of God. And because of this truth, there is a rejoicing in hope. That's what Paul says in this verse. But rejoicing here, actually, it means exultation. It means boasting. Think about this. And so it's not a boasting in ourselves. It's a boasting in God. The word hope here refers to a confident expectation. And so believers then can boast or exult in the confident expectation of the glory of God that awaits us. And why is that? Because salvation is anchored in the past, because Christ has made peace with God for all those who trust in Him. And salvation is anchored in the present, because every believer through Jesus Christ stands in the grace of God. And salvation is anchored in the future, because God gives His unchangeable promise that we will one day be glorified. Folks, here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We move from justification to glorification. And as sure as we are declared righteous by God, we will be glorified or conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is security. Amen. That is security in Christ Jesus. That precious old hymn says it like this, and how I love these words. We're going to sing it in a moment. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Folks, this morning we can rejoice and boast in the confident expectation of God's glory. You see, over and over in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul presents the truth of a salvation that is secure. And this security is not based on our actions. It's not based on us keeping things. Now, there is a such thing as the perseverance of the saints, and that's important, and we'll touch upon that. But yet, here we see the emphasis is on the work of God and God's grace in our lives, based entirely on the work of Jesus Christ by the grace and mercy of God. Paul says that our salvation is secure. It is eternal. Why? Because we have access by faith. We stand in His grace, and we exalt or we boast in the hope of God's glory. Let me ask you this morning, do you possess this salvation? Let me ask you today, have you been justified by God through faith in Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Christians, are you living daily in that justification? Are you living daily in that grace that God has given through Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we just thank You for the clearness of the Word of God. And as Paul writes, and as we read and listen, we are grateful for that work in our own hearts that would move us to hear and hear with spiritual ears. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, oh God, in Your great mercy and grace, would You grant repentance today? Father, in Your great love, would You open hearts that are darkened by sin and bring the light of the gospel of the glory of God through Jesus to them? God, would You do that? God, we who by Your grace have received this standing of grace, this access, this hope of glory, God, may it show clearly in our lives that we truly have been changed and we're not who we used to be. And yet, God, you are working in our lives to change us into the people that you want us to be. God, may that be the testimony and the pattern and the witness of our lives. We thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. We'll trust, God, in your continued work and in the security of this great salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.